Hello.
I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Kim.
Welcome to episode 16, part one of season five of the Massive Fan Book Club podcast. Today we're doing just chapters 64 and 65 of A Court of Silver Flames by Sarah J. Maas. We'll cover 66 through 68 really soon. You might even get these two episodes like less than a week apart. We just couldn't fit it all into the recording schedule today.
Nope.
Because I have a lot of bitching to do about 64.
See, Kelsey's finally realizing that when I said I really had issues with this book, it wasn't just because it was Nesta. It was...
Yeah. It was because everybody's lost their motherfucking minds.
I have to wonder, I'm like, did we transplant characters from something?
Okay, we'll get into it in a minute. Long story short, we're going to kick part four off. Part four brings in some of the pieces that I knew I was missing from getting spoilers. Mm-hmm. This bargain that we're going to discuss, I already knew about it, right? So, like, I have been in the back of my mind rolling my eyes, irritated about it the whole time.
Right.
That standalone is not why I'm mad.
Nope.
There are two other things that pissed me off so bad. I almost put the book down and had to be like, we can't even record tomorrow, Kim, because I can't even read anymore. I can't even fucking do it. I was about to be like, they're never getting the rest of this book. Like, I'm done. But I pushed through because I wanted to see how the girls fare. So yes, that being said, you'll get the rest of this in a part two of this episode, and you'll get songs then too, and all of that jazz. So
yeah, no songs today. Sorry, guys. That happened.
So it's all good. We're starting that part four of like the SJM roller coaster, where like, it's just going to be apparently it's going to be a whirlwind that's just wild and nuts till the end. We're at that spot.
And I told you that, like, mm-hmm. I did warn you, and you know, it's not that I don't love these characters, because I do. I mean, hello, we have a freaking podcast about it, and I keep going back and reading them. So it's not that, but I really have questions about some of the choices that have been made. So now we know she's writing the next book in the series. I'm dying to find out what is going to happen, because honest to God, there's some shit I want explained.
Yeah.
That also being said, I don't know. I mean, and I've told you this offline, and I don't know if I've said it that y'all have heard it or not, but I want to put it out there that one of the things Kelsey and I have talked about is when we're going to start Throne of Glass, and here's why. Mm-hmm. I need to read Flame and Shadow when it comes out, and as soon as it comes out, that's going to determine, based off of what's in there, when we need to read Throne of Glass. Because as anybody who's read all of them knows, by the time we get to Crescent City, it's all starting to tie in. And you're like, what the F is going on? So I need to make sure Kelsey isn't questioning certain things that happen.
Oh, I will still question them, because I am still convinced there is no successful way to write a crossover when you wrote Lord of the Rings and Star Trek. Like, I'm sorry. I am never going to be convinced that you could put Star Wars, Star Trek, and Lord of the Rings into one book. But anyway.
One book, no. One series, sure. If you take it from the point of view of, like, Marvel's multiverse. MCU.
I think some of that was done poorly, so there's that.
Okay, I don't disagree with that either.
In fairness, I have a problem with that too. So.
I'm not far behind you, I gotta admit. So you're good. You're totally good.
I do agree that is kind of what we're doing. And actually, my husband, who hasn't even read the books, he basically just listens to the podcast and me complain. He said the same thing. He was like, it sounds to me like a Marvel, you know, universe situation. And he was like, which admittedly, even the comics can't always make work.
Right.
He was like, very often a comic will come out and the community will go, that doesn't fucking work. And they'll have to just like, sure it does because we say it do. Like, you know what I mean? And so he was like, in fairness, a lot of what you're complaining about, a lot of fandoms have that problem where they're like, you wrote outside of your own boundary. Now I'm confused.
Exactly. So we do.
Which is what's going to make me mad in this chapter, by the way.
Yeah. And so we do need to address that. And so I wanted to make sure that, you know, everybody knows we are going to read them. We're going to start after this book. We will go into Crescent City 2, House of Sky and Breath. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not going to lie, you guys. I've only read it all the way through once. I'm on my second reread now. So cross your fingers. Because I know what's coming, and some of this isn't easy to get through. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Excited for that when we get there, because I'm ready for the change of pace. The thing is what's interesting is coming into Crescent City 1, I actually kind of wasn't. I wasn't really ready to let go of like Reese and Feyre, but now I'm so sick of these people. I'm ready for a change of pace. Now I am.
And for everybody who knows the Throne of Glass, all I have to say is I'm ready for some Selena and some Aelin. Thank you very much. Yeah, and bring on the real one.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm really excited to get to Throne of Glass. So I don't, like, whatever you decide is the best way that we move on after the second Crescent City, I'm, like, down for that because I'm really excited for Throne of Glass. And even if we don't go straight to Throne of Glass from there, I might do it myself just because I want to.
I may need you to do that because seriously, by the time we get to Flame and Shadow, I have a crazy feeling you're going to need it.
But yeah.
To get to Flame and Shadow to... I know you guys, I haven't read it. I don't have an arc. I know nothing about Flame of Shadow. I don't want you guys to think that. Just based off of, I'm just going off of a gut feeling based off of what she's already put in Sky and Breath and Earth and Blood. Just little Easter eggs she's put in places. I'm wondering, and based off of the Easter eggs, as everybody who has looked at the cover for Sky and Breath, and we're all picking apart all the little Easter eggs that she herself has said is in there, you may need to read it, like, on your own, and then we can go back and discuss it.
Sure. So, who knows? We'll keep you guys posted. But, okay, so just like quick disclaimers, we're going to 64 and 65. 64, not so much a problem. We're going to bitch a lot. But once we start getting really into 65 and then part two, you have to understand that this is mostly the blood, right? And it's really hard to explain a lot of action without like straight up reading it, right. Which I know sounds dumb. Like, I am aware that sounds dumb. But it's really hard because, like, what Kim and I do is we're good at looking at the interpersonal relationships. We're good at putting ourselves in other characters' shoes and being like, well, I think Cassian really was trying to say this. Or I think Nesta is feeling this. Or I think, you know, whatever. But it's a lot less interesting and a lot harder to, like, give analogies or other, like, you know, media callbacks or whatever to parts that are just, like, stabby, stabby, murder, murder.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, but it's not so easy. So that's going to be less of an issue probably in this two-chapter section and more just, like, this entire episode if you, like, listen or watch part one and two together.
Correct.
Once we get to a lot of the stuff that happens with the girls fighting their way to each other, it's interesting. I enjoyed it, but it's just hard to explain without like straight up reading it. So we're going to kind of get a lot of like, and then she stabbed a guy, whatever. And then she took his clothes. That's it. That's four pages and two sentences because what else is there for me to say?
Hey.
So just heads up if you get to some weird sections that almost feel like rushed through. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know. Personally, I thought they felt rushed even when I'm reading them. So that's beside the point. Still wild to me that we had 87% of the book was mostly feelings and breathing. And now somehow we're going to do the entire blood rite in like five chapters. But fuck, what do I know? What do I know? Who am I? So yeah.
Anyway, all of that being said, you guys, this podcast is not for little ears.
No.
No. Never ever.
Okay, so you kicking this off or am I?
I'm gonna let you go for it. Okay. You have feelings. Not that I don't, but
she just knows that I have feelings because I lost it in the Discord yesterday.
She did.
Fucking lost it. Taking screenshots of paragraphs and highlighting weird shit in it. And yeah, I lost it. But 64 opens fine. It opens up right where we left off, which is the end of part three was, oh shit, the girls have been kidnapped. They're going to have to participate in the blood raid.
Correct.
64 opens. Nesta is waking up. Drug.
Yeah, they drugged her. Poor thing.
So she wakes up. I did like this description only because I felt like, wow, anybody who's had a rough night in college remembers waking up like this too. Someone had poured sand in her mouth and taken a hammer to her head, was still pounding on it, apparently.
Well, I wouldn't say a rough night. I would say a night where they enjoyed themselves a whole hell of a lot, but they're paying for it the next morning.
Yeah, I still call that a rough night because that to me is those nights where it's like, maybe you didn't manage to make it up your own stairs. Maybe you were dragged. Or you woke up in a bush. I did not have that happen, but I did pass a girl in a bush once.
Jesus.
Everybody was like, do we get her out of the bush? Is she fine? And then there was another friend just standing there like next to the bush, like, she'll be okay. I'm going to get her out in a minute. Guess they were just taking a nap. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, like, side tangent, like, in the U.S., you're immediately like, oh, no, that girl is in a bush. She's definitely going to get kidnapped and, like, taken for human trafficking. This happened in England where people just pass out anywhere and everybody leaves them alone. It's fascinating. Go to a college campus in Europe, and if there are drunk people, everybody's just like, oh, that's unfortunate. She'll be fine. And the American in you is screaming, like, she's going to get kidnapped. And they're like, no, she's not.
Or... The American in you is screaming, she's going to be raped.
Right. And they're like, probably not. Yeah, it was very odd. I was far more worried about seeing people passed out, like in bushes and stuff, versus other people were just like, it'll be okay. She'll get up in a minute. We found a drunk girl one time in Scotland who literally had, like, could not remember what hostel she was coming from. She couldn't find her friend. It was a whole nightmare. And we just corralled her back to our hostel. And then as we passed a building, she was like, oh, wait, that one's mine. And she was like, oh, we're like, oh, okay. And then she had a friend come up to her and we were like, are you sure you're her friend? And they were like, yeah. And they called her phone. We were like, I guess you're her friend. And we handed her off. And I was like, wow. In the US, everybody would have been freaking out. Here, everybody was just like, oh, good, you found the drunk one. You brought her back. Thanks. Yeah, super hard times. Anyway, that's when you realize the whole world is not America. Nesta is waking up. Yep. Okay, this is the part that sucks the most and the part that really makes me, like, question the thought process of the blood rite and everything we thought we knew about the blood rite up to this moment, right? Because she got snatched out of her bed, she got drugged, she got left in the middle of, like, you know, snow and shit. In her nightgown. Okay. Yep, because that's what she was wearing. She got kidnapped. And she wakes up and she realizes she's surrounded by all of these other passed out fucking guys.
Yep.
Okay. Kim, correct me if I'm wrong. Really don't think that Reese, Az, or Cassian ever told us. Now, maybe they told Nesta because she seems a little less shocked. But I don't feel like it was ever explicitly told to the reader that that's how the blood rite starts.
At one point, I can't remember who was talking about, maybe it was Reese, when he talked about it to Feyre about the blood rite, and he said that they were
split up.
Just kind of split up and dropped off.
Right, but I still thought it was dropped off, not drug out of your bed, drugged up in the middle of the night, not wearing shoes. He didn't say that.
No. Though I guess, I mean, he talks about the fact that they bind you. Like, your wings and all that.
Sure. And he said that, like, your magic and stuff is stripped to make it more, like, legit survival and, like, even it out because different people have different amounts of magic and stuff. Like, yeah, he mentioned that, but I'm just saying, like, literally, like, no shoes, middle of the night, you didn't know it was starting today. He did not say that.
No, that, you're right. Survival of the fittest. I mean, we all know that it's a survival of the fittest thing.
Right.
It's Darwinism at its finest.
Sure. Except for the fact that the whole thing is a setup that doesn't make... Okay. This was the part one that made me mad, that I even had to, like, read out loud to my husband and say, like, now that I'm explaining this to you, does this make any sense to you as a, like, third-party observer who doesn't really know what I'm talking about in context? And he's like, no. So, you have a group of Illyrians who live on a mountain. And they apparently...
Or live in mountains.
Yeah. They have their own fucking, like, social hierarchy or whatever. And they don't seem to... They don't seem, again, maybe we're just not getting good information. They don't seem to, like, really fit in with the rest of Night Court society very well. They're kind of off doing their own fucking thing.
Right.
Okay. So there, they hate women. They won't let women participate. They train up these warriors. They're supposed to be brutes. Yada, yada, yada. Like, okay, we got all of that backstory. The whole point of them is that they want, like, this amassed, huge, winged army, right? I'm assuming that because they're fae, we still know that fae in general don't birth, like, a million children. Okay. So there's a finite number of Illyrians, and they don't want to marry non-Illyrians because they weird like that. So there's a finite number of Illyrians, and their best method of moving forward and making their legion is to take their top-trained warriors and kill off, like, 75% of them in the Blood Rite. You killed off, like, 75% of your childbearing age population. For what?
But it's always the men.
Well, right, but they don't let their women do anything, and they beat them to death. There's not many of them hanging out either. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, all of a sudden, it's like, this man is gonna fucking math. You want a huge Illyrian army. You train, like, hundreds of dudes, which already takes out half of them, right? Because they don't make it through training to the Blood Rite. They either quit, get injured, die, right, whatever. Then you have this subset that's already, like, wicked trained, and you let them murder each other to be left with even fewer.
Yeah.
For what? What?
I know.
So, somehow that had not really occurred to me up to this point, because, like, the whole thing had been just, like, existing in the background of the story, where it was,
right,
like...
Right, right, right.
And even the way that, like, Reese and Cassie would bring it up, they'd be like, oh, it's, like, kind of archaic and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But now that, like, we're watching it, I'm like, I'm sorry. Reese, you are the highest High Lordy High Lord. If you thought this was as fucking stupid as you say you do, at any point you could be like, I'm sorry, you live within the realm of the Night Court. I'm putting an end to some fuckery. You can still do all of the training. You can still do X, Y, Z. But I'm not going to let you just murder off a portion of the population for fun. Like.
My only thing is that there is other magic involved outside of what they typically have, because this is how they're able to A, strip the magic of everybody participating, sure, B, winnow in and out to get people.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
They've never been able to really do before. As is one of the only Illyrians, full-blooded Illyrians, sure, who can winnow, yeah, and that's because he's a shadow master or right, shadow singer.
I mean, I don't know. I sort of get the, like, dropped off in three locations, you have no magic, you have to fight your way up Ramiel thing. That I get. That, I mean, I have a friend who I don't even remember. She's a PE teacher. I don't remember what the course was or why, but she did one that was kind of like that, where she took, like, this, like, survival, like, course thing where they did, like, drop you in the woods and it's like, we'll come back for you in a week, you know? And she did do that. So, like, I understand that. I don't think, and the point of that was actually exactly what the women do, which is exactly why the boys won. So I do understand there is some mentality there of you find your people and you work together. That makes sense to me. But the Blood Rite is designed to do the opposite of that. And that's why I'm not convinced it makes any sense. So you want your best warriors, instead of learning to work together as, I don't know, a unit like you would need in a war, you want them right, to murder each other instead.
Right.
For what? I understand why you drop them off. They fight their way up the mountain. But why are they fighting each other? That I don't get.
I don't get it either.
That I don't understand. Why is it just a bloodbath up to the mountain? Why isn't it just first one up to the mountain wins. I don't see, I that's the part that I'm not fucking getting. And that's why I'm saying no, at any point, Reese, this is why I'm mad. This is like point one of why I'm mad.
I have to admit, I mean, and I'm not disagreeing with you in yeah. that it, why not do it the way you're talking about? Because truly, you are losing some of the best warriors by doing this.
Right.
One, but two, there's nothing, even in this, it's not as well explained as it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't, I just don't understand, like, all of this to say, it's like the last episode, all of this to say, Kelsey's confused. But all of this to say, I'm starting to lose faith in Reese as a good High Lord, truth be told, because I understand why he's like, well, I gotta let them do their thing. Actually, no, you fucking don't, my man. No, you actually don't. If they're murdering off each other, they're beating the crap out of the women, they won't let the women participate, and you're like, oh man, like, we can't get anything done up there. Like, but we need them. Do you? Do you? Because the math ain't nothing. There's not enough of them surviving each blood rite to have an Illyrian army worth calling in to fight the next Highburn. So no, you don't. Like, I know that was discussed back in, I want to say, Akawar, where Feyre kind of said that, where she was like, you're the High Lord, can't you just tell them to shut up and listen to you? And he's like, no. And I'm like, actually, yeah, you fucking could.
Yeah.
Same with the fucking under the mountain, his downstairs buddy, Kier, and all them. He could fucking blow them to smithereens and start over. And I'm not saying that'd be that nice, but I'm just saying, like, it doesn't, he can't keep saying he can't. Yes, he can. He's choosing not to. And whether or not that's the best political move, I don't really know. I don't really understand why he lets Kier get away with anything he lets Kier get away with.
I do not disagree.
Because that's not all the people down there. I know he's like, well, they choose to be a part of it. Okay, get them new leadership and maybe they'll stop. You know what I mean? I don't get it.
I know.
So I don't know. I guess I'm a crazy lady because I'm like, you're the ruler of your imaginary land with your imaginary problems. Fix it. But, you know, then I look at the real world and it's not better. So I'm like, I guess just, you know, fantasy world has to mimic the real world. I would think the fantasy world's the only place you could fix these problems, but apparently we're not going to do it there either. Yeah, so they're doing nothing about it. But anyway, we're in the fucking blood rite. None of this was explained prior to us. But I guess maybe Nesta knew. She seems less bothered by the fact that she got dropped off middle of night with no shoes. She does remember back. She's like, okay, well, I'm waking up. I don't see anything but dudes here. Gwen and Emery aren't here. But that makes sense because there are three locations that people are, you know, dropped. Because that's how, like, Cassian and Reese and Az were split up. So she's like, that's not surprising to me. So she gets up. She is realizing.
What I find interesting in this, the whole, like, she talks about it, and there's like 200 Illyrians around her. So if they're relatively evenly dispersed among three locations, sure, you're looking at 600 warriors.
Yeah. Right. But then I remember back to what it gets brought back up. I don't remember if it's this chapter or another one where they talk about, like, Ramiel, and only like 12 have ever made it. So three
all the way up to the top.
Yeah.
So right.
Three of them are Cassian, Reese, and Az. And then I know that some of them just survive up to the foot of the mountain. And I guess some of them just survive, period. That's the part that seems really confusing to me. I didn't realize how Hunger Games this fucking thing is.
I think she was inspired by that.
Yeah, I thought, like, and I guess maybe I'm really wrong, when I thought from the previous books, this was just like, they train for a long time, then they opt in to do the blood rite, and then they get split up day of, and it's like, drop point one, drop point two, drop point three, I'll come back in a week, and if you made it, congratulations. And then that some people just try to survive the woods, some people try to get to the mountain, and some people make it to the top of the mountain. And if somebody pisses you off and you kill them, is you don't go to jail. I thought them were the rules.
I really think actually those are the rules.
But for some reason, there's a lot more murdering than necessary, and more of them die than survive. I just thought when it was like, oh, well, only 12 made it to the top of the mountain, that like 100 people were just like camping at the bottom of the mountain. But I guess not. Apparently, they're all murdering each other until Thursday, and it's like,
okay. I know you've read ahead.
Yes.
I'm trying to think. You told me how far ahead you got, but I don't know if that.
So just so that everybody's clear, I have read ahead to what we're like through what we're going to cover for this quote episode. Like, so not past today, all the way through 68. So, spoiler, but not really, because it's all the same book and section and everything else. I've read through the girls finding each other and getting to the base of Ramiel.
Okay. I won't say anything other than there's more that goes on by the time as they go up Ramiel.
Sure.
And we learn some things that I think explain why this time it's more murdery than normal.
Oh, well, we already do. That does get addressed in this section a little bit. Yes, because that's going to get brought up right here, which is on the page that we're on, which is as Nesta's realizing she's going to need the basics. She's going to need her clothes. She's going to need to figure out some sort of a like weapon. She's going to need to make a plan. She's going to need to find shelter. All of a sudden, one of the guys wakes up and she realizes that there is a weapon. And that's not supposed to be a thing.
Exactly.
So, yes, caveat some of the murderiness. Typically there are no weapons.
So involved. I think it's a lot harder to kill people if you don't have weapons. I mean,
okay. That's a fair point. Okay. That's a fair point. But I know that Cassian and Reese and Az pointed that out too, because they even call it that. They said they had to kill their way to each other. So I'm like, why?
Because three of them of all the regular warriors, the three of them were the most hated.
I guess people are trying to take them out first. And I guess that's the part my brain just cannot comprehend, because I am not wired this way. If you dropped me in the Hunger Games with people I fucking hated, my gut reaction still would not be to take them out immediately. My gut reaction would be survival for myself. So unless you hated me, I don't care. Which, interestingly enough, not in the two chapters we're doing today, that kind of comes up in this section. There is a guy who thinks like that. He's like, I'm trying to make it to the end of the week. I don't give a shit about the rest of this.
And it's funny, because he happens to be a fan favorite.
Oh, I love him. I thought he was great. I thought, yeah.
It's awesome.
I laughed because he was well enough written that he reminded me of the mercenary back in book one, where I went, I don't know if he's going to come back or what, but we gave him a name. We gave him a personality. We described what he looked like. I'm like, that's a lot for a fly-by-night guy.
I don't disagree. I think he's cool. So
yeah, maybe he'll come up in the future. Maybe in the future we'll get a redesigned Bloodright Illyrian camp that's more like what we said. Maybe he'll be the face of that, because he's not a jackass.
We can hope.
Maybe he's the new generation of Illyrians coming up.
Well, considering his name.
Yeah. So, but we'll get to that next episode. Anyway, long story short, typically there's just nothing. You are dropped in desolate. You have to figure it out. So she's already trying to plan ahead. All right, I got to like find some clothes. I got to make a path, yada, yada. But then as one of the guys is waking up, she's like, oh, fuck, one of them is getting up. I'm like, what are we going to do? But then she realizes at the same moment that he does, there's a fucking knife like sticking out of a tree, and that's not supposed to be there. So she has to make a quick decision. Does she go for the knife, or does she get out of sight? And she chooses to go for the knife.
Smart girl.
But that was what felt Hunger Games-y to me. Because remember the beginning with like the cornucopia of junk, and they have to decide if they're just going to run for it or collect stuff and yada yada. So that's where I was like, this feels very Hunger Games to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she goes for the knife, and we get a snowflake, because if you're reading it and not talking side tangents with us, at this point you're immediately wondering what the fuck everybody else is doing.
Pretty much. And poor Cassian is literally about to lose his shit in so many ways. It's not even funny.
Can you explain to us why he can't? Anyway, yeah, you go. Because this made less than no sense to me.
So basically, it starts off that Cassian couldn't breathe. He hasn't really been able to breathe for several minutes. His family had arrived. They all surrounded him in the wrecked bedroom of Emery's house. So that means Feyre. That means...
It's Feyre, Rhys, Amarin.
And Azrael.
And Azrael.
Because Mors and Valahan. I know.
If you're watching the video, you know I'm about to die. When we get to the paragraph about Mors, I got a problem. But carry on.
Anyway. He's like... He looks at I'm trying to not look at you so I don't lose it, but I'm also trying to think how to explain this.
She knows I'm about to blow my top. Carry on. I'm good.
But anyway, they're all talking. As poor Cassian is so upset. He can't even, like, literally so in his own head, so upset he's not hearing anything that they're saying. And finally, he's like, fuck it, I'm going after them. And he starts tapping all of his siphons and everything to armor up. And he looks at Azrael and he goes, win me to her. Then you go find Gwyn and Emery.
I know. I thought it was funny that he assigned Az a job. Like, if the sentence had just been, win me to her, I could see Az being like, I ain't going to be a part of this, my bro. But then it's like, oh, wait, you also want me to intervene? No, bro, what are you saying?
So it's just comical because I think we finally understand the full hierarchy of the inner circle.
Yes and no, Rhys pulls an asshole move for no reason from the get-go.
Well, no, but okay, but hear me out. Because Rhys has always been like, Amarin's number two, Mors number three. And you never found out who four and five were? Like the order of Azrael and Cassian? Cassian outranks Azrael.
Yeah.
Because he's the general. That's the only thing, like, the first time I read this, I was like, we finally know.
That is funny.
I don't know why, that entertained me. So, Rhys isn't moving, and he's like, you know the laws, Cass. And Cassie's like, fuck the laws. Poor Feyre's like, wait a minute, hold up, what laws?
Right, and then Rhys could be a decent person in this moment and tell her, but instead he looks at Cassian, who's freaking the fuck out, and demands that he do it.
Oh, exactly.
You guy.
And he's using all the dominance of the High Lord, which literally forces Cassian to do this.
Which I think is rude.
I do too, because Cassian is so wound up. And here's the thing, if it had been reversed...
Cassian would never have done it. And that I have felt that way this entire book. No longer really like Rhys and Cassian's relationship. Rhys is a standalone, he and Feyre have their own thing, and he's the High Lord, and he can do his High Lordy shit. And like I said, he should pull rank when he needs to. But I no longer feel this whole, like, oh, we're brothers thing. Kim, you and I would do less of this than the three of them do to each other. But also, maybe Fair. That's women.
It might be just because we're women.
Yeah, like now suddenly I was like, wait, maybe women. I now think that maybe women's maybe women's relationships are actually way stronger than men's. Yeah. All right. Well, maybe that's
a different way, in a very different way.
Maybe that solves that problem. Anyway, carry on.
So anyway, Cassian does explain it, and he's like, anyone who pulls a warrior from the blood rite will be hunted down and executed, along with the warrior who is dishonorably removed from the rite. So poor Feyre is now like, wait a minute, so the three of them now have to stay in the rite?
Mm-hmm.
And Rhys is like...
That made me lose my shit.
And Rhys is like, even I can't break those rules, no matter how much I might want to. So then he's like,
how?
What?
Is that possible?
I know. And then the kicker is that then it's like, so what? We just sit on our asses for a week and wait?
And this is where I wanted to smack Feyre in the face.
Like, then she goes, weren't you listening at all when we got here? And he's like, no.
Right. And this is where I said in the group chat, oh, and then you got Feyre who doesn't give a fuck that we basically just said that her sister and these two women are just going to fucking die because Illyrians are assholes. Like,
right.
How is right. Everybody just like, oh, well, nothing we can do then. Fuck them. Like, holy shit.
Not only that, then, so Az lets it go. And he's like, my spies got word that Aerys has been captured by Briallen. She sent his remaining soldiers after him while he went out hunting with his hounds. They grabbed him and somehow they were all winnowed back to her palace using Khostche's power.
Okay.
He guesses.
So now before we get into the part that really makes me just want to like set the book on fire. I have to give Az credit because Az wasn't going to bring this up.
Right.
Like, Az was going to let Cassian feel his feelings, and Az was going to intervene and, like, not let Cass go get both of them, you know, get everybody killed, you know what I mean? He wouldn't have winnowed him in, but Azrael's going to let Cassian stomp around and feel his feelings and feel shitty. But everybody else is too worried about sort of imaginary problem that has been going on for a year.
Right.
I'm sorry, I understand that Aerys got taken, but we let Briallen sit around with one of the fucking trove objects for months. We could have done something months ago, and we chose to sit and watch. Now we're gonna act shocked as fuck that Aerys got taken?
Yeah.
We've been doing essentially nothing for months. You just found out that your sister is probably going to die either way. She's either going to die out there from fucking hypothermia, where she's going to get murdered, or if you go get her, you both die. And your gut reaction is, well, that sucks. But anyway, Aerys got taken.
Yeah.
I have no respect for Feyre at this point. I now no longer give a shit about what Nesta or Elaine did or didn't do back in the day. Because Feyre doesn't give a shit now. Like, that is the wildest thing I could have read in a book. Well, I thought that and then I turned the page.
Well, so here's the thing that I always questioned. She's a Daemati. They're in Illyria. Why doesn't she or Rhys use their Daemati powers to at least talk to her and find out what the fuck is going on and see how they can offer help?
Right, right. I think the shitty magical system answer we have for that is because apparently, and this was never explained until ever, it sounds to me like both people have to have their magic like up and running to be able to receive those messages. Weird thing that we're about to find out in another page or so that made me close the book, get a glass of wine, and angry text Kim when I read it yesterday. Apparently, even though this was never explained for four fucking books till now, and even though we have literal examples of where this is not true, Daemati powers work like cell service. Both parties have to have all of their bars in order to send and receive messages. And sometimes you can go hang out in a spot that doesn't have a cell tower.
Yep.
Somehow, not a problem when Feyre was in the fucking, like, human lands and Rhys was all the way back in the Night Court. Somehow not a problem when Rhys was literally getting taken out by Amarantha and he was able to send a multi-message out to all his inner circle. But suddenly, we cannot reach the girls or...
Even better, somehow Rhys was on the continent because Az and Cassian still weren't healthy enough to do it when... Feyre finally comes back online. So he gets a message to Mor and Az and Cassian to go get her. That's the one where I just like scratch my head going, you want to try that again?
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. That was the thing I was saying about more, which is another, I think like page away somewhere in here where it was like, we couldn't tell. I don't know where it is in here now. Of course I highlighted it, but I highlighted a lot of things. But yeah, the sentence is like, we can't get a message out to more because she's in Valahan or whatever, outside of our Daymati fucking zone, which makes
is wrong. We now know that that can't be the case.
Right. So either the inner circle is lying or they have just lost their minds. Lost their fucking minds.
Well.
Or it's a plot hole.
Let's get to where we are first.
Okay.
So Asriel's like, yeah, we have to go get him. Poor Cassie's like, we? Who's this we? Like, yeah. What do you mean? We have to go get him.
Yeah.
And Feyre's like, she nods to Rhys and her, and she's like, well, we can't. You know, Feyre's less than 2 months away, apparently, from delivering. Yeah, no, she's not going anywhere. I
hope so, because she's been pregnant for elephant gestation.
Yeah. And he looks at, he looked, so Cassian's turn around, now he's looking at Rhys, and he goes, what do you mean you can't go?
Yeah, I actually agree with the statement.
You can be in and out in an hour. The fuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Rhys is like, I can't go. And Cassian's like, yes, you can. And Rhys is like, no, I really can't. And finally, Amarin's like, all right, goddammit, why?
Mm-hmm. Which I appreciate, because Amarin's realizing that Rhys is sort of pulling a, you know, I outrank you, and Amarin's going, I'm your second. You tell me, though, why?
Yeah.
I need to know and, why you can't. If I'm your second, like, I need to know what's happening.
Like, what the fuck did you do that you can't? And he finally tells them about the fabulous little bargain that he and Feyre made to only leave the world together. So Amarin's like, she can't even answer. She's just like rubbing her head. And Asriel's like, wait a minute, you made a bargain to die together?
Like, yeah.
Smart.
I like what Amarin just says it like it is. Fools.
Romantic, idealistic fools. And so Feyre's like, if Rhys dies, I die. And if you die, Feyre, then Rhys dies. So now everybody's understanding why the fuck Rhys is really losing his shit about this whole baby thing.
I'm irritated by Rhys because he says, I never thought it'd turn out like this. Really? Mr. Plan 4 books ahead, back under the mountain, sleep with Amarantha, making plans for the whole world, finding a girl who's a fucking human to save your ass. Couldn't foresee this possibility.
Right. So poor Amarin is like, fuck it, I'm taking charge. Apparently our High Lord and High Lady are incapable
of making the current calls. Yeah. At this point, I hope that the book that SJM is writing right now, I hope it involves a coup where they decide the two of them have to go be like the Queen of England, where like don't really matter, and they're just gonna like go wear crowns and have their baby and hang out over there, and other people who have time will actually make the decision.
I don't know. But she's like so pissed off at Rhys and Feyre, God love her. She's like, we will discuss the idiocy of the bargain later.
Yeah.
Shooting them both like serious, like nasty Graham. And then she looks at Cassie and she goes, you and Asriel will have to go get Aeris.
Right.
And then it's like, why not you? And then it's like, Amarin, you know, they can't. And Amarin's from like, fine, powerless. You can say it.
Yeah, I can't. She had to give up the power I used to have. Yeah.
She had to give up almost all of her power.
Yeah. So now she's just a bitch, which you and I pointed out earlier. Like, it used to be she was a bitch with power. Now she's just bitchy.
Right. Which I guess if you had all that power and now it's gone, I'd be a little bitchier too.
Fair. And also, you know what? She can still use her powers for good. She can go make Reese and Feyre feel terrible about their dumb decisions.
That's right.
Worth keeping her around just for that.
And then they're like... And then Feyre, this is the part that both, we just already talked about it. Neither one of us understand it, which is Mor is in Valahan. She's out of her Daemoni range, which we've just discussed and proven that based on everything else we know, that does not even make sense. So, what? Uh-huh. I just think it's truly a case of they don't want to risk Mor with Bree Allen. Though I finally, like, I've had... Literally talking about it and listening to you, I just had a moment. Part of me wonders, though, if they're purposely trying to send Cassian to occupy him while the blood rite's going on so that he doesn't do something stupid.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that crossed my mind, too. But on the other hand, it's a little... Completely possible. Completely possible. Other than, then don't make up stuff that's not true. Don't just say we can't send Mor because A, she's in Valahan, B, we don't really want to give her up to Bree Allen, and C, you need something to do. You know what I mean? But like, if they're going to like make shit up just to like get Cassian essentially out of their own hair for a week, then yeah, now what they did to Nesta is just a pattern. You know what I mean? The answer is actually they don't want to deal with anything. They just want to send people away when it's inconvenient. And therefore, then if I start thinking that, then I really am going to end this book not liking these people. So I want you to know that for some reason, T-Mobile and AT&T, their cell towers are out. And we're just screwed for some reason. For some reason, didn't pay the bill. We switched providers.
I'm just trying, you know.
No, I know. But yeah, so yeah, maybe it's all bullshit. Who knows?
You know, and of course, Cassian's just like, fuck it, let him die. And they're like, well, we can't because he poses a great danger to us in Bree Allen's hand. And fair point, because Feyre does say, if he's under the crown's influence, he'll reveal everything he knows.
Right.
To which they do ask Cassian, well, what does he know? And Cassian's like, too much. He was worried about what we do with Nesta as a Night Court power with all three objects in the Dread Trove. He thought the Night Court might turn around and attempt some power grab. And Feyre was like, hopefully the dagger we gave him will grant him immunity from the crown if he's carrying the dagger. If they haven't unarmed him, he might shield him against another made object. And Reese is like, we don't know that. He's still in her clutches. She might be able to sense the dagger, might respond to her. So, and then Az is like, there are other methods to get him to talk.
Right. And if he had been treated like a real ally should be treated, I would agree with all of this.
Correct.
Except he knows next to fucking nothing. So I'm with Cassian. Let him die, I guess. I don't understand what we're worried about. Oh, he's going to reveal that she has the two objects Bree Allen knows she has?
Fair.
She Fair. Knows.
She does. She knows.
What's he going to say? I fucking hate those Night Court people. I think they're going to try to like take over the world. Yeah, Bree Allen already feels that way. Like, uh-huh. There's like nothing that Eris can say that she doesn't already know.
Yep. So Amryn's finally like, you need to go. We're going to return to Valaris. And she looks at Reese and Feyre and says, and we're going to have a long talk about this bargain.
Good.
Like, somebody needs to rip them a new asshole. And honestly, I can't think of a better person to do it. So go, Amryn.
Yes.
So he's looking towards the window. Cassie's just not even paying attention. She's looking out the window trying to imagine where Nesta could be. Yeah. And finally, he's like, I trained Nesta well. I trained them all well. If anyone can survive the blood rite, it's them. And then he thinks to himself, if they find each other. And we get a snowflake. And this is the only section that I really think we're going to go into a lot of detail because of all the stupidity that just comes out with Reese and Feyre. We're both
feels to me, and I said this when explaining to, again, my husband doesn't read the books. He just listens to me talk about them. I said this to him. I said, if you, like, don't get me wrong. I love the journey that we got for Nesta the whole first half of this book. But it's what you and I said a while ago, which just feels like a set of books that should have been a trilogy shoved into one book. And that means that we are now getting the entire, like, quote, Akawar section as the last 15% of this book. And it just feels like we're not doing anybody justice. We are making Urkel look stupid. We're giving Nesta, Emery, and Gwen almost like too much plot armor. Like, they shouldn't make it as easily as they do, which is really more what we'll talk about the next episode. Like, I enjoy it, but it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's a little bit like we did go through that in ACOTAR. We're like, the difference is the only reason Feyre made it was she kept getting other people to intervene. Like, Lucien would show up and heal her, Reese would show up and heal her, blah blah, you know what I mean? But we don't have that for these women, so it doesn't really make any sense to me. So I don't know. It's like we're rushing these plot points. Mm-hmm. The Briallen bit with Aerys, we're gonna get to that mostly next episode. Also, to me, it makes no sense. You finished the book, so you know, I don't understand. I have said this the whole book, and I still stand by it. I still don't know what Briallen's doing. I know the things she is doing in this section. She's the reason there's fucking weaponry here today.
I am
currently feeling like I feel the same way I feel about Amarantha. I don't understand the long goal. Like, I don't get the long game. I'm not sure what the long game is. And I really wish I knew that by, we're almost 90% of the way into the book. I feel like I should know what the long game is by now. The fact that I don't, it's making this all feel a little, I don't know, flat. You know what I mean?
I do. I totally do.
Anyway.
I agree. I feel like, if not three books, this should have been two.
Yes, I actually think this would have been a fabulous duology. The first one where we heal the inner Nesta and start to get that, like, matey-matiness. And then a second book where we really get, like, the Valkyrie plot-heavy Briallen, really understand what's going on with Aerys and what have the Band of Exiles been doing, and, you know, yada yada. Yeah.
And I think if she had done that, and again, you guys, I love Sarah J. Maas, so this is nothing to do.
It's not like we hate her or the books and we're never going to read them again. We're just a little frustrated and confused.
I really feel that, you know, it's like, I do feel like she has a contract to write all these extra books. Well, great. Take the time and write them. Don't make it feel rushed, because it does feel rushed. And that's, as I have told Kelsey before, as I've said before on here, I really feel very strongly about this book. I have a lot of issues with this book.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of issues with Nesta's whole character arc. Now, let me clarify that, because she's done a whole lot of growing, a whole lot of change, and she's gone from one side to the other. However, when we get to where the book ends, it just, this last, as Kelsey keeps saying, you know, as you keep saying to me about it, it feels so rushed, and it is, and it feels rushed, and it doesn't feel right at the end, because you're like, we had this whole long buildup, right? And now all of a sudden we've hit the top of that roller coaster, and now we're doing that really fast descent, and we're going to do all these crazy turns at, like, really high speed. But I feel like we missed something. Like, when you get to the end, you feel like something's missing, and that's my issue with Nesta in this book. Her progression through the book has been great.
Yeah, it's less Nesta specific and more what we did. Like, why did?
I just feel like there's stuff that got cut that, or maybe cleared it wasn't up. Even put in that. I wish if she had taken the time to pull it apart and, yeah. and really kind of written it out, I think we'd be in a better place.
I agree.
And I think we'd all feel differently about the inner circle. I think we'd all feel like there are so many yeah. parts to this. And I really just think we all are not all on the same page because of it.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I don't know. I feel like I've bitched about it enough, so I will just go with yeah.
When we get to the very end, we'll talk about it. Like, yeah. I think we should recap that. And I think at that point, you'll understand why I say that now.
Sure. No, yeah. I my biggest qualm at this exact moment, like where we are in this page, is just that I went into this being like, wow, people really fucking hate the inner circle after this book. And I thought that was weird. And then mm-hmm. I saw some of that throughout and I was like, they're irritating me, but I don't fucking hate them. Mm-hmm. And then somehow suddenly this chapter made me go like you said, like, was this Invasion of the Body Snatchers? Like, this doesn't even feel
right.
like them. And now I'm not mad at the inner circle. I'm mad at the way this book is finishing out. That's and this is not, like I said, I'm not like, you know, authors can do whatever they want with characters. I can't remember if we said it in the episode or if you and I said it offline. Like, I just watched one of those Christmas movies where one of the characters was an author and it starts off with her like quote unquote ruining her career because she kills off this character, like the main character's husband in like book 12. And it was a romance series. So if you kill him off, he's pretty important. And people like lost their shit. And that was like part of the plot of the beginning of this movie.
Right.
And I feel that way a little bit in here, which is she's the author. She can do whatever she wants. But the consequence is people are starting to not like the characters. And I don't know how you come back from that. Like, maybe that's a little bit intentional. Maybe the next book she's going to write, they are going to have some big, you know, quote unquote, come to Jesus. You know what I mean? Maybe there is going to be some sort of a, you know, Reese Fayra, if that's really how you feel and you really just want to ride off into the sunset, then you do that. But we're going to need to move somebody up to be making the decisions. And whether or not that's Amryn as your second, or you decide that Cassian and Nesta are going to fill that void and you guys are going to work together and kind of like take turns being in and out of the spotlight, or, you know, maybe that's going to be a political discussion to be had. Maybe they're going to decide that they now vote in Valaris. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe that's going to be a plot point in the next book. So since she's not done, I'm not ready to be like, oh, fuck this and give up. You know what I mean? But
you mean like I do with Zodiac Academy?
Hey, sometimes you gotta do it. You gotta do what you gotta do. So I'm not ready to write it all.
Everybody.
And, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I don't, at this exact moment, I do sort of agree actually with those people who hate the inner circle. It's just not, I do not hate them enough to stop reading and be super mad about it. I just hate them in this moment, the way they are acting, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. And I think, I won't say that I won't go back and try and pick up on Zodiac Academy, but right now I don't have the heart I couldn't. And it was one of the main characters and I couldn't deal with her.
Yeah.
Her decisions and how she handled things. Who knows? Maybe it's plot armor like this that will get me through it. And if somebody out there, if you know about it and you want to talk to me about it and discuss it with me, come talk to us on Discord and you know, we'll figure it out. I'm happy to talk it out with someone. I'm going to tell you guys right now, I told Kelsey, I said, I feel horrible. I DNF'd. Never DNF. I DNF'd. I got so angry. I just was like, I can't do this. Like, I'm not enjoying reading this anymore. I'm too mad and not in a good way mad. So I just was like, forget it. So I understand where you're coming from and I know why you feel that way.
Well, and sometimes I'm going back to your DNF. Sometimes it's just about where you're at a moment. Like, you feel that way now, but in different life circumstances, 6 months from now or something, maybe you won't. I went through that. You know me, it has taken me forever, like literal years to get through Outlander. And that's for the same reason. There are times when I can deal with it. And there are times when I go, I just don't have the bandwidth. This is too upsetting to me. And I'm not even talking about reading it. I was watching the show and I told Kim there were two or three times where I just had to stop watching because plot points got so uncomfortable or the way a character suddenly seemed to like flip on a dime just bothered me. You know what I mean? And then 6 months later, it wouldn't. I'd sit down one day and I'd go, all right, I'm ready to give it a shot again. And I'd watch three episodes and go, oh, I don't know why I was so bothered by that before. So sometimes it's just
right
a time of life thing. So like, I get it. And I'm sure that's how many of us feel about this. When you're reading it and you're so excited for these characters and then they're acting like assholes, you kind of get your feelings hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
When the next book comes out, I guarantee you are all going to be like, but I miss some.
Absolutely. So I'm not saying I won't go back to Zodiac Academy, but right now right. It's just like, eh.
Yeah.
So who knows? But we get a snowflake finally.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. And back to Nesta running to the tree. We're running for it. We're going to get the knife. Just as she's getting to the knife, the other guy gets there as well. And it turns into like this barrel roll situation where they're like fighting and rolling. And they kind of like go down like a hill. And it shit happens. It's not even actually particularly graphic in the way it explains it. Just shit happens. And then next thing Nesta knows is she's like on her back. This huge man is crushing her. But at some point in this, she has stabbed him in the neck and he's dead.
Yep.
Yay. So, first one down.
One down. Hundreds to go.
Right. She gets him off of him. She does the thing that you do in video games, and she steals all his stuff.
She looted him. That's what it's called. You loot. My husband does it all the time.
Yes, she looted him. And the last thing she thinks as she gets dressed is, you know, okay, now I got to go find my friends. And that's the end of the chapter.
Yes.
65 picks up right there, which is she is just going through her head being like, all right, like I said, I know that we got dumped in three locations. I know, you know, based off of, you know, that's what happened to Reese and the guys. So she's like, all right, I know we're probably split up. I don't know who's at which one. I don't know exactly which direction.
She doesn't even know where they are in relationship to where she is.
Right. So she then looks, she gets to a point where she can look to Ramiel and she's going, okay, well, based on what I know, if Ramiel's to the east, then I've been dumped in the west. So the others are north and south, probably. And right. So she's like, all right, well, like, what do I do? You know what I mean? Like,
and as worried as she is about Emery, she's more worried about Gwen because of Gwen's trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's like, yeah. So not knowing who's at which one is a pain in the ass.
Correct.
And she's suddenly having the realization that like, they really are just going to have to survive this. Because you know, like they can't come get her. Like, I guess she does know that law that gets brought up to us previously. Like, she's realizing Cassian like can't come save her. Like, this is just, this is it. This is it. This is all they got, is trying to survive the week. And she kind of gets this little mantra in her head, you know, because that's what we've been doing for this whole book. And she goes with like, we can do this. We would, you know, she could do this.
Right.
Would do this. She'd save her friends and herself. And yep. She's thinking about her friends and trying to choose which direction she's going to go when she notices the charm on her bracelet start glowing when she heads in one direction over the others.
Right.
And she kind of realizes that if she goes towards the north, it shines brighter. Like, she can see a little bit if she's going south, but she sees more northward. And she realizes, like, that means whoever's up there, like, that's who needs me. That's
right.
Been a dire situation.
That's the one that needs her the most. That's the one in the most danger at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she remembers, you know, that it's working because she basically had put a little bit of magic into it when she did that little, you know, she said, you know, the courage to go out into the world when we're ready, but to always be able to find our way back to each other no matter what. And so she had turned them basically into beacons to find each other, which I think is awesome. Still a little wonky on the magic thing because there's no magic, but I guess made magic doesn't count, but she's made magic. So how come she doesn't have her? Yeah. Just don't think too hard. Don't think too hard.
Right. And as she points out, she's like, whichever her friends is in the south wasn't in nearly as much danger as the one to the north.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of, wow.
Yeah. And so she thinks for a moment about what I said, kind of about the magic not making a whole lot of sense. And she thinks about how, like, you know, it's interesting that she doesn't have her magic. If she's made and this is made, how come she doesn't have it, but this does? And she decides that, whether or not this makes logistical sense or not, she looks at it as a good thing where she goes, because I'm a person, like I'm made, right. But I'm a person. And like the whole situation sees me as a person, not a made object. So it took my magic, but it took everybody else's.
Correct.
I do like this line. She had realized how badly she needed to be shown that distinction. She inhaled the pine and distant promise of snow. Alive. Even in this hellscape, she was alive.
And then it says, and she'd make sure her friends were too. So she's already heading north. We get a snowflake. It's funny because she's like, you know, the charm is urging her along. Yeah. She needed water. She's in boots that are way too big for her. So she's going to have god-awful blisters, but her feet are protected. And she needs food. She's going to need shelter before sunset. So she's starting to like calmly and logically figure out what she needs to do. She has to decide if she's going to risk a fire. Again, the survival skills she has been taught are kicking in. And I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome we get to see that.
Which is cool, except please remember that for fucking 600 and some odd pages, we just watched them do fucking Tai Chi and swordplay. Never did anybody tell us that they were learning this shit. Hence why we didn't know we were going to the Hunger Games.
Right.
Sort of feels
like I think she realized she was learning some of it when she and Cassian went on their hike.
Yes, but I'm just saying, like, don't you feel like at some point we could have been like, and then today the girls were building a fire and Emery threw a rock at Gwen and they got into a mudslinging battle. Like, just a side note of, like, we do other things than swords would have been helpful coming into this. But anyway, carry on.
Right. She keeps checking to make sure nobody's following her. At this point in time, nobody is. She does hide the charm because she doesn't want anyone to see it, which makes sense. She's doing her thing. She finally, she gets to a point and she thinks nobody has seen her. She's trying to slowly come up over something. And then all of a sudden an arrow goes whizzing past and she's like, wait, an arrow? What the?
Yeah. She's like, fuck me.
She's like, the knife hadn't been a fluke. Someone had dumped weapons in the blood right. And she's looking for the arrow. It's in the base of a tree. She slides back down the hill till she reaches it, pries it free, tucks it in her belt, climbs the hill again. Now, I'm sorry. If you're dumb enough to know that somebody up there has arrows, why the flip would you go back up?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of dumb.
Girl, I don't know.
But she comes literally face to face with a razor sharp arrowhead, and the warrior's like, get up. And we get a snowflake.
And Cassian is flying around thinking about how much he fucking hates Aerys right now.
Yeah, because he and Az are circling Briallen's castle.
I'm sorry, this is like 3 pages, but all you need to know is he saw nothing. No red hair, no lick of fire, no hint of soldiers. Azriel circling in the opposite direction signaled that he hadn't seen anything either. So this is going nowhere fast.
Right. He's like, fucking Aerys. I love that. Just fucking Aerys.
That's pretty much all he has to say is fucking Aerys. And that if he finds him, he's going to kick his ass.
Yeah. He's like, I can't help Nesta. Yeah. He's finally, you know, he's freaking out about that still. He shuts it down and he's finally like, Nesta's going to survive. Gwen and Emery will survive. He's not allowing any other alternative. And God love him. Dude, well, you go.
In fairness, because I thought that was a weird thing to think, he'd allow no other alternative. And I was like, you literally can't do anything about it. Then I remembered, isn't he the one that after he found out what happened with his mom? He, like, killed the town?
Yeah.
So, I guess he's thinking they're going to survive or there will be no more Illyrians for this to be a problem again.
Because I really think he would do that.
Which, again, obviously in the real world with real humans, I would not say this, okay? So, like, just throwing that out there, please don't take my political beliefs against Illyrians to be a reality of humans, okay? There are no fucking Illyrians, okay? Weird that in 2023
not like these that. Anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah, you got, you know what? Asterisk down at the bottom, you're right. There ain't no winged people. Okay. Yeah, you'd think we didn't have to say that, but in 2023, the hellscape that is the social media, I thought I should throw that out there. But yes. Anyway, I'm, again, not saying that if Cassian gets mad, he should go, like, eat a whole town. But on the other hand, I sort of think it's funny that Cassian's the only one who ever does anything about anything.
Yeah.
Cassian's the only one that when people, like, he's the only one who actually goes out there and, like, vigilante justice is it. Which, I guess if my High Lord was just like, I don't know, I can't do nothing about nothing, I guess I would too. Like, I thought that was a weird plot point when it said he did that before, but now I'm like, you know what? Go for it, my man. Like, what a weird, weird, like, universe we have built.
But we love it.
We do, but like I said, I guess I... It just did not, you and I've said it through the other books and earlier in this book, like, I wonder what everybody else is doing. Like, what's Helion doing? Like, what's his court think is happening? Like, what is anybody dealing with the Tamlin problem? Like, you know what I mean? What are the Band of Exiles up to?
Man.
Like, we've wondered about all these other people's thought processes, and the more that we read, the more I'm like, no wonder they feel about Rhys and the Night Court the way that they do, because up until recently Rhys had this dumb fucking like I is evil facade, and then he let that go and it's like, so you're not evil, you're just stupid. You know what I mean? Like, it was supposed to be like a great reveal where it was like, I'm not evil, I'm great, but instead it was like, I'm not evil, I'm dumb. Like,
I don't know if he's dumb, but he definitely makes some interesting choices.
And like I said, and just like non-action choices. You could do something about Kier, but you don't. You could do something about the Illyrians, right, but you don't. Right. Yeah. All of a sudden, it's like, the more I read, the more I'm like, oh no. This place is just America, isn't it? You have bad.
You know, it's possible. It is possible.
You got questionable.
She's putting the politics of our current world into this so that she can express herself. I don't know.
I'm like, you got, yeah, I don't know, bro. You got bad politicians who ain't really doing nothing about nothing. Yeah. You got like wars that don't really make any sense, and you know, bad women's health care, and only some people have running water. Like,
see?
Woo! Feeling a little close to home.
maybe she's processing her feelings on the American political landscape. I don't know.
Boy, okay, but anyway, that's the last of what we're going to cover today.
Yes.
66, 67, 68 we will cover in our next episode, and like, yes, you said, that one's going to be very blow-by-blow. I can already tell you that, like, I'm skimming through 66 while we talk, and it's just a lot of stabby-stabby, beady-beady, take some stuff, find a girl, find a cave, find another girl, get to a bridge. Like, that's pretty much, I just did it. We're done.
Yep. No, there's more, but yeah. We didn't talk about any of the era stuff, so good.
That's because there's nothing to say until literally like the last three pages of this section. Like, there's no
era. There.
I'm just saying, there's no eras, no eras, no eras, and then there's eras. But that's really all that this section is. I think you might be thinking about 69.
It's possible. At this point, they're all one together. I'll be honest.
Yeah, no, I know. That's why when you said that, I was like, ooh, you're right, but I think it's actually, let me skim, click, 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 click and through my book, clickety, click, 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 there's the bridge, click, click, click. yeah, you're thinking of 69, so that won't even be next episode. 68, we literally, it's no Eris, no Eris, no Eris. There's Eris! And then 69, they'll explain that. Well, do they actually? I mean, they do, but
some of the stuff that does come up, there's stuff to definitely
that
talk
one
about.
Guy, these guys, we're gonna talk about that one Illyrian guy.
Well, not only that, but there is some information that comes out and political stuff that comes out that we learned that is like...
While they're flying around looking for him, yeah.
Well, not just that. I'm talking about with the girls.
Oh, well, there's some trauma. There's some trauma explanations. I'm trying to remember the political... Oh, yeah, for a hot second. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, for a hot second. I forgot about that because it was weird.
Anybody who can't watch this or isn't watching this and you just hear it, you have to understand the look on her face.
Yeah. Yeah, I highly recommend you do watch because sometimes the things that you probably hear as long pauses are us just making faces, like trying to go through our like memory recall. Good times, good times.
Or me biting my tongue so I don't like spill the beans.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Spoilers. Yeah, spoilers, too. Darling, spoilers. To quote River Song.
So yeah, if you want to also be mad about this section, you can talk to us in the Discord. Or you Please. Can get into, I think we have like a related channel where you can talk about like other books and stuff. And you can tell us what you DNF because you couldn't handle it at the time. We will be there with you. We understand.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I feel that way about what happened with Zodiac Academy. And I'm serious. If somebody out there really loves it and you feel you can convince me, you want to talk me through it, let's do it. Because right now, I have to say, I need somebody to do for me what I did for Kelsey. To get through the books and kind of hold her hand and say, no, it's okay. Keep going. It's okay. Keep going. Because maybe I need somebody to convince me. Because right now, I'm not convinced. And if I'm not convinced, then forget it. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
I understand.
I feel bad saying that. It was a really good series. But I just kept getting... We got to a point, I just got so angry. I was like...
Well, you and I have talked about that with... TV shows for me. I have a bad habit of not watching the last season of things because I can't like handle the wrap up. Yeah. Or here's a good example. Do you remember that show Rain? And for like a hot second, I was doing TikTok reacts to that weird ass show.
Yes.
And then I had to stop because I got so like viscerally upset about what they did to one of the characters. And then I've since seen spoilers of another thing they did to this character like seasons later. And I'm like, I'm glad I stopped watching or I would have been so mad. Like they took basically my favorite character and just like beat him to death repeatedly. Like he only existed so that they could make him suffer every season. Couldn't handle it.
I understand. I mean, I do. I get it. I totally understand. It's hard.
Yeah. So anyway, good chat about that and the books and all the things over in Discord. We talk about anything over there.
And don't forget that the songs will be in the next episode. Yes. So
yes.
It's coming. I promise.
Songs are next. Yep. And you can find us on all the things. Website, MassiveFanBookClub.com, Facebook at Massive Fan Book Club and Podcast, Instagram at Massive Fan Podcast, Pinterest at Massive Fan Fans, TikTok at Massive Fan Pod, and don't forget about Discord. Okay.
Yep.
I think that's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, bye.